Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. Before we start reading, most of you are probably familiar with the book of Proverbs, but if you are not familiar with the book of Proverbs, when you read it, it's good to condition your reading with the realization that the writer of the book of Proverbs is no dummy. I said the writer of the book of Proverbs is no dummy. First of all, we should treat the whole Bible that way because God wrote it. If God said it, He means it. And there's all kinds of stuff in the book of Proverbs that would really challenge our religion. Would really challenge our standard way of thinking. It challenges the way that we talk, the way that we think, the way that we spend our money. It challenges the way we handle our emotions. Proverbs, I'll be honest with you, if you just read the book of Proverbs over and over again, you'd come to church and be like, man, there's a lot of Christians really, really out of line. If you read the book of Proverbs a couple times, some people would come and try to gossip to you and it would make you uncomfortable because you realize how serious God was about it. As long as you believed that God wrote this book and God was serious about every word that He put in there. See, we like to take the verses that we really like in our religious thoughts and our religious ways, you know, and we like to uphold the standards that we view as most important. But every standard that God put in His Bible, He views as important. Every standard, not just the ones that we hold in high regard, but the ones that even kind of side skirt our Moses. We don't really like it. It don't feel good when the pastor preaches it, or when Sunday school teachers on it, or when we're reading the Bible, or listening to a sermon. When God said it in His book, He means it. And we should hold it in high regard. So watch. And also, God's wise, the wisest man that ever lived, who got his wisdom from God, penned these words under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So when I read this, let's hold it in high regard as truth. It says in verse number 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Anybody here want to prosper? Amen. I like to prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How many of you want mercy? How many of you think that you don't need mercy? Some of you acted like I said, how many of you want mercy? How many of you want mercy? How many of you have been a recipient of mercy in your life? Meaning, I didn't get what I deserved. I'm thankful that there's been times in my life, Brother Larry, I did not get what I deserved. I wouldn't say there's been times, but all the time, I'm not getting anything that I deserve. I'm standing here right now not getting something I deserve, or I didn't deserve. Getting something I didn't deserve. It says in verse 14, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let me read that again. Happy is the man that feareth alway. Watch this. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall. Say, shall fall. Into mischief. I was reading this passage of scripture, and it's custom for me to read a proverb a day, and you run across verses all the time, and this stuck out to me, and I've been thinking about what it's like to have a hard heart. I'll be honest with you, church. There's times in my life when my heart gets hard. And in this passage of scripture, that word hardeneth, it seems to be a verb, that something that we do, something that we are at fault for doing, that we harden our own hearts. Now, we do find in the Bible where God hardens people's hearts. And let me just lay your suspicions aside. We do have free will. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe that God forces people to do anything. He gave us the gift of free will. But when God hardens somebody's heart, and He does harden hearts. Oh yeah, He's hardened my heart before. You know what that is, right? That's just God making it easy to do the thing that you really wanted to do anyway. That's why some people have hard hearts towards their husbands, they have hard hearts toward their wives, they have hard hearts toward their friends, toward their churches, because really, the whole time, they had a hard heart anyway, and God just helped them just move it along a little bit. Let's move it along. Let's just get this over with. We got some things to do. We're going to get you out of the way so we can move forward. But most of the time, I would say, Brother Larry, it is our fault that we harden our own hearts towards the things of God. And people with hardened hearts, you can see how someone with a hard heart, it affects their emotions. It affects the way that they worship. And the reason why I say this is because it's noticeable when someone has a hard heart. You can tell when your spouse has a hard heart. You can tell when some of y'all looking at your spouse. And my wife's looking at me, that's why I'm looking at you. You can tell when your spouse has a hard heart. Now, when I say these things, we all deal with a hard heart. So I'm going to talk about hard hearts tonight. I'm talking about hardening your heart. The harms of a hard heart. Because we all get there. I don't like it when I get there. It affects the way I worship. It affects the way that I minister. It affects the way that I talk about people. It affects the way that I treat people. Let me lay a foundation here. It is not okay to mistreat people. You know what the Bible says? I believe it was Paul who said it. That the way we treat people should be taken into special consideration, especially concerning the household of faith. It is more of an obligation for you to treat the people that are of the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, than it is for you to treat a lost person. You shouldn't treat lost people with sweetness and kindness and tenderness and mercy, but everybody in the church you treat with disdain, you treat with no mercy, no grace. That should not be in the church. It matters how we treat each other. You say, that doesn't matter. Watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens in a year from now. And you're like, I don't know what happened at the church. We was running 115 and now we're running 60. I don't know what happened. Some of us will be able to point this way and say, I happened. You want to know a good indicator of a hard heart? Is whenever I said that, you said, not me. You can sniff out somebody with a hard heart because it ain't ever them. Right. They do this during the preaching. You say, no, I don't. I sit right there. You ever have, me and Emily joke all the time about this, but there's times when I have a hard heart or she has a hard heart in the marriage. You can tell when they got a hard heart because they don't ever say sorry. You're a hard-hearted person if you can't ever say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just say it with me, I'm sorry. I taught in Sunday school, I said this. I said, don't come to me and apologize and say, I'm sorry if. You got a hard heart if you come to somebody and say, I'm sorry if I hurt you. Don't do that, because what you're trying to say is, I'm not really sorry, but I'm trying to get out of it without actually taking responsibility for what I said and what I done. A hard-hearted person never say sorry. When the preaching happens like this, it's never them. It's always someone across the way. It's always somebody else. Or it's, and my favorite thing is, and sometimes I do this whenever the preaching's going on. Yeah, but it's wrong if they do it, but it's okay if I do it. As a hard-hearted person, because they think everybody else should be sensitive to what's being said, but they're not sensitive to the preaching at all. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time God really spoke to you? Where you knew without a shadow of a doubt, man, Holy Ghost was compelling me to say something, do something. When was the last time you were truly, church, listen to me. When's the last time you were truly convicted? I pray this prayer often, Brother Kevin Yerk, as I say this, Lord, make me a man of conviction. Because I don't want to live my life, Brother Will, like I've got it all together, because I don't. And when I feel like I have it all together, and the preaching doesn't affect me, when I read the Bible, it doesn't affect me, and I never can see in the mirror of my sin and my problems and my wickedness, and I can't move forward and be more like Christ, I can't go ask for forgiveness and apologize and grow and get better with the Lord. If I can't do that, then what am I doing? If I do that, I know my heart's hard. I know. You say, why? When you get a callus on your hand, we know this, and we've probably heard this illustration. You get a callus on your hand, it protects that layer of skin to prevent that friction from causing more blisters, painful blisters that can breed infections. It's your body's defense. And some of us, let's be honest, we've lost all sensitivity to the things of God. You want to know another indication? You don't want to be around the things of God. In and out. Look, if you stand out in a kitchen, or you sit out of Sunday school and you don't want to hear God's word taught in your Sunday school class, you got a hard heart. Yeah. Because if your heart was sensitive and moldable, and man, I want that word. I want to hear that word. I'm sensitive. I know I need it. I need to grow. I need to get better. Is your heart hard tonight? Would you say that it's been a long time since I just felt just the breeze of the Holy Ghost move on the inside, and it brought me to an altar. It brought me to tears. When's the last time your heart was sensitive enough that it brought a tear to your eye? When's the last time you fell under such heavy conviction that you had to go to your friend's house? You had to go to somebody and say, I just had to tell you God's all over me. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. And I can't be right with God until I say something about it, till I address it, till I fix it. When's the last time that you felt that pressure from the Holy Ghost to go witness to somebody, to invite somebody to church, that God was pushing you and pressing you, compelling you to do something for Him? Or do you force yourself every time you come to church? You force yourself every time you walk through the doors and you serve Him? Or is there a nudging? Is there a pushing? Is there a compelling? Is there a sensitivity on the inside where your heart is so moldable and it's so tender to the things of God? When's the last time? Is your heart hard?
I found this on the web.
Amen. I want to look at some attributes of a hard heart. First, a hard heart is subtle. A hard heart is subtle. See, in this passage of Scripture right here, it says in verse 14, happy is the man that feareth always. In Scripture, fear is used to express filial or a slavish passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws. You can't respect God and not respect His word. You can't revere God. If you don't hold this in high regard, every word, then you don't revere God. Which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. In the Nevertheless I Live, in the curriculum for RU, the second principle says, it teaches us that every sin originates in the heart. The reason why it originates in the heart is because we think that we think with our mind, but we think with our heart. You understand? Look, your heart, the Bible refers to it as the meditator. It's our thinking center, right? And before you ever did a sin or committed a sin, before your heart ever got hard, you thought about it. And here's what happens. He refers to it as a trigger. The heart is a trigger. Over here is your flesh. And over here is the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit of God wants the things of God. He wants you to have communion with God. He wants you to have fellowship with God. He wants you to worship God. He wants you to do things that God does. And don't do things that God would not do.
Exactly.
Am I right? Now over here is the other one. We call him the old man, the flesh. We should hate him. We should not like him when he rises up and he wants to do things that God doesn't want to do. The Bible says the flesh is at enmity with God. So he is in direct disobedience to God and opposition to God. He does not want to do anything that God does. What happens is this little trigger right here, our meditator, our heart, gets flipped over so much, so often into the position leaning towards the flesh, that it gets stuck there. Y'all ever had like a valve or something that you tried to turn and you left it for so long? A couple of years, you go by and that thing's rusted shut, or you got something on your wheel, your car, huh? Yeah, stud. Yeah, I mean, the longer it sits there in one position, it's hard to break it. It's hard to get it to turn back to the other position. You get so used to living over here for the flesh. Your heart gets so used to giving in to the flesh and thinking about what the flesh wants and thinking about what the flesh wants to do and agreeing and giving into it, that it gets stuck in that position. Your heart just thinks about what your flesh wants to say, what your flesh wants to do, what your flesh loves, what makes it feel good, what makes it tick, what makes it happy, and it gets stuck. It gets hard. So much to the point that the Spirit of God over here is tugging on it, trying to pull it, trying to push it over, trying to break it over. But it is so hard that it can't move it. A better way to describe it is that it is so hard that it is desensitized to the Spirit. That's why the preaching doesn't affect your heart like it used to. That's why the good singing doesn't affect your heart like it used to. When the Holy Spirit moves and people are worshiping, you don't feel like it affects your heart like it used to. When you do things that you ought not to, or say things you ought not to, treat people the way you shouldn't treat them, or when you wonder why do I ever have the compelling to witness to somebody, and I just don't feel like the Spirit of God ministers to me like it used to. I'm not as sensitive. I don't have any convictions anymore. Anything go. That's probably because you're desensitized. Yeah. Your meditator is hard. Your heart is hard. So the Spirit of God is no longer able to effectively communicate. You can tell it because people get apathy all the time. Yeah. If you get apathetic where you just don't feel anything for anybody, or it's not good. And this happens subtly. The thoughts just get out of control, and slowly, and just kicks that trigger over, kicks that trigger over, kicks that trigger over, and it just stays and stays and stays and stays and stays until the meditations of your heart. How often during the day do you think about a scripture? Do you think about a verse? And RU teaches about Bible meditations. They call it medications. That you're supposed to take your daily medicine. That you should have a meditation on your heart all day long. A scripture that you can think on and dwell on. It's subtle. Desensitizes you. And what happens is this. A saved person. This is where a saved person will do things that an unsaved person would do. You become so desensitized over a period of time that you start doing things that even lost people wouldn't do. You say, I don't... Yeah. You say, I don't believe that. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the Bible talks about them hardening their necks, having hard hearts, and they worshipped a golden calf naked while Moses was up on the mountain worshiping God, getting the Ten Commandments. They're down there around a golden calf. Naked. Worshiping a golden cow. Really what they was worshiping was Satan. But God's up on the mountain. And he just brought them through the Red Sea. Brought them out of Egypt. The 10 plagues. Y'all know the story. God did great things. And they hardened their hearts and did things that somebody that just got saved shouldn't do. Like worship a golden calf. You say, I'd never do that. that. That's what kind of condition you could be in if your heart gets hard. You'll do things and you won't see nothing wrong with it. I just don't see anything wrong with it. It's not that big of a deal. Satan will get in your ear. It's okay, it's not that big of a deal. You're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. You have every reason to say that and do that to them because they deserve it, you know. Whether you think they deserve it or not does not, look, it does not hold water with God if you're transgressing against His Word.
Right.
It's subtle like that. Just kind of gets in there, you know. And you start doing things that you'd never thought you'd do. Say things you never thought you'd say. Acting, you say, how do you know? I've been there. Oh man, I wish I could tell you that I've been a perfect preacher, a perfect assistant pastor, a perfect saved man, but I have not been. I've done things that unsaved people shouldn't do. Period. Well, it's not me. Your heart's hard. You're not preaching to me. Your heart is hard. Because this scares me to death. I'm scared of it. I don't want to get hard. I don't want to get insensitive. I don't want to have apathy. I want to be sensitive and moldable and conformable to God always. So what happens is this. Is your thought life gets you so hard? And it can happen for a myriad of reasons. That you'll never respond to the Spirit anymore. Let's look at this. The second attribute of a hardened heart is sabotage. So we've seen what does a hard heart do? It's subtle. And why is a hard heart a problem? Sabotage. Look at the word here in verse 14. It says, he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into what? Mischief. Hardened people always go further than they thought that they could go. It says mischief, harm, hurt, injury, damage, evil, whether intended or not. Look at that. That's what that Webster's 1828 says about mischief. A new law is made to remedy the mischief. Intentional injury, harm, or damage done by design. Ill consequence, evil, vexatious affair. You know what happens when your heart gets hard? You start to self-sabotage. But you don't just start to self-sabotage. You start to sabotage others. You start to sabotage your fellowship with the Father. You aren't close to God like you used to be. You don't worship Him like you used to. Because your heart's hard. No, it's not the preacher, it's not the singers, it's not what time we do service and how often we have service. It's not what's being said or what's not being said. It's not because your wife or your husband. It's not because your friends. It's not because whatever reason we could conjure up. It's because your heart's hard. That's why. Your fellowship with the Father is broken because you have a hard heart. You have flipped your meditator switch towards the flesh and it is stuck there. You are insensitive to the things of God and it needs a remedy. Not only will you sabotage your fellowship with the Father, but you'll sabotage your friendships with friends. Yes. You could tell someone with a hard heart. This is why a hard heart's bad. You'll sabotage your fellowship with the Father. Watch it. You'll sabotage your fellowship with your friends. Or your friendships with your friends. You watch somebody with a hard heart, they'll start shooting at their own. Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. Turn around and say, what happened? You holding the gun. You holding it. We watched you shoot them. And you turn around asking us what happened. Look at you. Yeah, y'all laugh. That's what it looks like, feels like sometimes. Anybody else been shot at? I've been shot at by my own. Oh, yes. I've shot at my own before. I've hurt people that love me, that want good for me, that have prayed for me, that have been there for me. Bang, 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 bang. You say, what happened? My heart got hard. I became insensitive to the things of God, right thinking, how I should ought to act, how I ought to live. Became insensitive, wasn't convicted anymore, so I just did whatever felt right to me, whatever my flesh said. Yeah, do that. You feel a little emotional today? Yeah, say that. Go ahead, cuss. Yeah, go ahead, cuss. Go ahead, run them down. Go ahead, say what you want to say. Go ahead, split them up. Yeah, go. Yeah. It's your flesh. And eventually, you will ignore the pressings and the urgings of God so much that you'll become insensitive. You won't even hear Him anymore. God saying, no, don't say that. Don't do that. No. No, have grace. Have grace. Mercy, mercy. Love. Don't go there. Don't drink that. Don't say that. And eventually, you shut Him out so much that it's over. You want to know if you got a hard heart? You sabotaging your friendships with your friends. Sabotage your fellowship with the Father. You sabotage your fruitfulness in your faith. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy. Think about this for a second. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Does that describe your life in any way? No. Seriously. Love. Does that describe the way that you acted last week? Love. Was that some fruit that you experienced yesterday? Love. Did you feel it? Did you give it? Joy. Did you feel it? Did you give it? Or is your heart hard? You don't feel any joy? Not having any joy? What about peace? Got any peace? Huh? Maybe your heart's hard and you're sabotaging the fruitfulness of your faith. Your faith should bring these fruit. What about goodness? What about gentleness? Have you been gentle? Have you received gentleness from the Lord? Have you given gentleness to other people? Does that describe you at all? This yesterday, the week before that, in the past year, have you experienced love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness? Any of those? Meekness. Temperance. Self-control. Did you control yourself yesterday? Have you controlled your mouth one time this past year? You said, nope, not going to say that. If not, probably what happened is your heart got hard. Let me wonder if this describes you. This is from RU. This is good stuff. This is what we learned in RU. That's a little plug there. Adultery, sex outside of marriage. Your heart's hard. That's still a sin. Fornication, sex before marriage. Still a sin. Uncleanness, sexual deviance. Lasciviousness, sexual excess. By the way, that happens a lot in our churches. Sexual deviance, sexual excess, pornography. Happens all the time in our churches. Maybe your heart's hard. Sorry, I was going to preach it. Idolatry. This is what idolatry is. Valuing something more than you value your relationship with God. Is there something in your life more important, way more important than your relationship with God? Like your friends? Are your friends more important? Huh? Is your job? Is your comfort? Is your sleep? What's more important? That's idolatry. It's not just worshiping a golden calf. It's valuing something more than you value God. That's an idol in your life. Does this describe anything? Man, I was reading that and I was thinking, man, that describes me more than the first one did. The idolatry, the witchcraft, hatred, having a great dislike for another. You experienced that this past week, past 2 weeks, past month, past year? God said love, not hatred. But most of us were thinking, oh man, I fit more on the hatred side than I do the love side. Is your heart hard? Get a hard heart? Wrath, revengeful feelings of getting even. Strife, spreading angry contentions. Does that sound more like you than the other? Heresies, envying, a general uneasiness with the happiness of others. Drunkenness, to be habitually overpowered with intoxication from alcohol, still sin. reveling, uncontrolled feasting and carousing in a party-like atmosphere. Sabotage. You sabotage your fruitfulness in your faith because you have more fruit of the flesh than you do of the Spirit. You say, why? Because my trigger, my meditator, my heart is hardened into the position towards the flesh and is desensitized and no longer leaning over to what God wants, what God says, and living the way God wants me to live, saying the things that God wants me to say. Is your heart hard? Is that why you have more fruit? You have more fruit of the flesh than you ever do of the Spirit. Right. Most people, even people in the church may look at you and say, man, I wonder if they really got it. I wonder if they've really met Jesus, because they wouldn't say that and do that. Why would they do that? Because Jesus said you should know them by the fruit. An orange tree's not going to give apple fruit. A spiritual tree doesn't give fleshly fruit. A solution. So, hardened heart is subtle, and there's sabotage. But there is a solution. See, I gave you all the symptoms, and all that preaching there was simply just to maybe get you to realize that my heart's hard. See, I think about David, and I'll be done him if you want to come. I was thinking about David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he was wrong. Right. And what amazes me is that after he did that, so he sins with Bathsheba. Some say that he raped her. That she didn't have a choice. That he raped her. Got her pregnant. Murdered Uriah. So he's committing adultery. Probably a sexually deviant sin, especially because he may have raped her. But then also, he commits a murder. All works of the flesh. Then afterwards, what happens is, for I don't know how long it was, Pastor, a year or more, he had a hard heart. His switch was flipped over toward the flesh. He did things that he never thought he would do. Yeah? And his heart was hard, so for a year, he wasn't even sensitive to the fact that, man, I messed up and I need to repent. The solution to a hard heart, who cares about the symptoms? All those are important for is for you to say, just check the temperature for once. Check the temperature in your spiritual life for once and say, yeah, I do have more works of the flesh. My heart is hard. Right. Just check the temperature. Quit checking everybody else's temperature. Check your own. That's what people do. They sit around. Hey, yeah, so-and-so, yeah, so-and-so, yeah, so-and-so, yeah, so-and-so. You're blasting every, you doing just gossip, gossip, gossip. Man, Jesus said you choke on a gnat and you can swallow a camel. Yeah. What was that? You ever see people choke like that and like it wasn't even nothing? But man, camel walked by, man, you swallow that thing whole. What it means is you're worrying about all the little stuff in everybody else's life, and while you worrying about all that, the way that you're doing, the way you're responding to it, you swallowed a camel. You got a big fat camel in your mouth. But then when somebody else's gnat flies in, I'm like, what am I going to do? What David did was this. As David got so hard that he had no realization of what he was doing and what he had done. But here's what happened. A preacher come along. And the prophet Nathan. And you know what he did? It's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind. He said, David, thou art the man. You're the one. This is what you did. And here's what happened, and you did it. Here's what happened, and you did it. Here's what happened, and you did it. And you know what David did? David was sitting there, and prophet Nathan was talking to him. He went like this. Is that what he did? No. You know what David did? David thought, Lord, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. You know what he said? He said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I am the one. You're right. I do have this bitterness, Lord. You're right, God. My heart is hard because I haven't been listening to you lately. I haven't been obeying you lately. You're right, Lord. My heart is hard because I've been listening to music I shouldn't listen to. I've been hanging out with friends that I shouldn't hang out with. I've been watching too much media. I've been consuming content I shouldn't consume. You're right, Lord. My heart is hard because somebody hurt me. You're right, Lord. My heart is hard because something happened to me and I can't get over it. And if you can say that, the Bible says in Ezekiel, God said, I'll take your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He said, I'll do it. David said, give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart, O Lord. You cleanse it, Lord, because I can't do it. I can't go in there and fix my mess. All you have to do, the simple point of the message, you just have to say, God, my heart is hard. I have been neglecting those things, and to bring them to an altar and throw them there and say, God, can you soften me up? Because, God, I want to worship like I used to worship. I want to cry like I used to cry. I want to serve with the passion that I used to have. I want to love my friends like I used to love my friends. I want to have fellowship with you like I used to have with you. I want that heart back. I want to be sensitive again, Lord. I want to be convicted again, Lord. I want to have a close walk with you. Yeah. You know what God will do? God will say, all right. And it'll take you from over here. God has always been a God of mercy and grace. And because He's a God of mercy and grace, so are the people around you. You go to God and say, God, you're right. Clean me up. Give me a fleshly heart. God will say, okay. You say, God, it's me. He'll say, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Come back over here. Let's fellowship again. But you're going to have to take it. Whatever's keeping that heart hard, you have to bring it up here. Brother Don gave an illustration. And some of us, what we have is, we got these things on our shelf that we're holding against people, and things that we're hiding, things that we're not confessing, things that we're just... But you know what it says there in that verse before, in 13? It says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We cover it. We cover it and we hide it. But it says, but he whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He said, you're not even going to get what you deserve if you would just take it off the shelf and say, okay, I'm not going to hide that anymore. God, here it is. And bring it to him. And he said, and I'll have mercy. Do you have a hard heart tonight? Do you want a soft heart again? Let's pray. Let's all stand. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, create in us a clean heart. God, a soft heart, a sensitive heart. God, that is in tune with the things of the Spirit of God once again in our lives. God, we need you tonight, God, to shine the light on the things, God, that are making us hard. Help us in Jesus' name.